to give you a special warm welcome this evening. Thank you for coming out tonight. It's interesting to reflect back on 20 years. I know I've gotten better looking. I don't know about Brent, but I know some of us in those pictures just improved just a little bit. Actually, it wasn't me. It was 20 years ago, 21, right in there, that two ordinary guys from Iowa moved up here a year apart with a desire and a prayer to start a church and to reach people for Jesus Christ. And little did we know all that God had in store. A few weeks ago, I wrote to the guys at Bloomington. Bloomington ended and had their final service in those old orange plastic seats. I think it was, yeah. A lot of lives changed in those orange plastic seats, just so you know. I think it was June 11th, approximately 10th or 11th. And so that particular morning, I was feeling a little nostalgic. I was going to go just be there that morning when they were at their, the following week at their new location. So the week before, when they were, I knew it was their last one, I went back to the records. I used to keep the records, believe it or not. And I have these notebooks on my shelf, so I leaf through all the notebooks, and lo and behold, it was 20 years to the day on the same weekend that we had our first service as Evergreen at Oak Grove Intermediate School in those orange seats. And 20 years later, the same weekend was their last service in those orange seats. And then I looked at the attendance, and I'm like, oh my gosh. It's exactly 20 times as many people coming on a weekend. And then I looked at the giving of God's people, and it was exactly 20 times what it was that first month that we met at Oak Grove. God has done an awful lot in the last 20 years, and you are a living testament to what God has done. There have been a lot of ups and there have been a lot of downs. There have been things that have happened that I never dreamed or imagined would happen, both good and bad. But in all that time, God has been faithful. I remember when we were praying for the Grace facility and so many things seemed to be coming together and it was going to be the first time, our first building purchase, and then the bottom just fell out of the whole deal, kind of left us all gasping for air. And I could go into a lot of other things that happened that were quite a surprise. And in all of those times, and all of that, at times, darkness as leaders, there's been times as a pastor that I asked myself, Lord, is it really all worth this much? Is it worth this much emotional cost? And I think about you. I think about you. And I want to share something with you tonight as I get started this evening, something very personal. Two verses that I want to read to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? For who is our hope and our joy and our crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. And I just want to tell you on a personal note from me. And I'm sure the other guys would say the same thing, but I'm up here tonight, so I get the chance. I cannot tell you how thankful I am to God for this church, for this group of churches, for you people. You are the most extraordinary people I have ever known in my life. And you are a living testimony to Christ and what He can do in a person when they submit to Him and when they follow Him and when they obey Him. And I would say over the last 4 years and 5 months since my daughter's illness, I have come to an understanding of the love of the people of God in ways that I never imagined before in my life. And I just wanted you to know, as one of the ordinary founding pastors, how incredibly thankful I am to God for you. You bring me so much joy. You are my life. You are the reason, besides the Savior, that I live, that I keep going. And I am so grateful for what God is doing in your life, what we are allowing Him to do in your lives, and what you've allowed Him to do even presently. You saints are gems. You're absolutely gems. Not only has your sacrifice in giving increased 20 times, that doesn't even take into account the money raised for the facilities. Mark Bowen will elaborate on this probably in his session, but recently in talking to one of the accountants that does our auditing, and he also audits a number of other of very large churches in the city, he said, quite honestly, you guys are an aberration. Mark will correct me if I'm wrong, but basically the gist of what he said was, we don't know of another church that has this kind of commitment to giving and to see the increase over the last several years. It is a testimony to your love for Jesus Christ, your love for one another, and your commitment to His cause. And I'll tell you, if you know, my chest was big enough, my buttons would be popping as a proud spiritual father for what God has done in your lives and what you're letting Him do in your lives. You are our life. And we live for you. That you might grow, that you might be all that God wants. And it leads me to my topic for this evening. I'd like to ask you this question, all right? This is kind of a participation kind of question. I have to get to the right page. Someone played with my papers. Believe it or not, once in a while I use them. If I could only find them. There it is. If God has used Evergreen or The Rock or the Urban Refuge to change your life in a significant way, would you stand up? If God has used Evergreen or The Rock or the Urban Refuge in a significant way to change your life, would you stand up? Now I want you to look around. Just look around. Look around. And there's people up there, but you can't see them. That's okay. I heard them coming up too. I have really good ears. This is what it's all about. You can sit down. Changing lives. This is what we're all about. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what church is all about. It is for this purpose that we labor and wrestle and pray and strive. And I would like to show you from the scriptures this evening that I'm speaking the truth. In Colossians chapter 1, are both the verses that I want to share with you this evening. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 6. Paul is writing, and he says to the Colossians, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours that very first day you heard and understood the truth about God's great kindness to sinners." Jeremy was up here tonight frequently talking about our need for Jesus Christ and our sin and how broken we are without the Lord. And that's so true. We can all testify to that. We're all living examples of that brokenness. And this truth, if you let me refer to the gospel as a moment, as truth. This truth was spoken into our lives by someone. It might have been when you came and sat in an auditorium in those orange plastic seats, or at the Urban Refuge, or at Evergreen New Hope, or at The Rock, or at Lakeville. At any one of those places. It might have been someone who talked to you over the phone. It might have been a friend that you know, but someone spoke truth to your life and it changed your life. And the fact of the matter is that if they hadn't spoke truth to your life, you would not be changed today. And then Colossians chapter 1, it's one of my life verses actually. It's a verse that I focus on and think about frequently. Colossians chapter 1, 28 and 29. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. "Him we preach and proclaim, and we warn and admonish and teach and instruct everyone in all wisdom, That is the comprehensive insight into the ways and the purposes of God, that we may present every person mature, that is, full grown, changed, fully initiated, complete in Jesus Christ. For this purpose, I labor to the point of exhaustion, striving with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within me. You know, if someone were to ask me, Mark, what is it? What is it that drives you, that moves you, that gets you up every day? What is it that you're so passionate about? It's very simple. I live and breathe for one purpose, to change lives. In any conversation, through love, through counsel, through advice, through proclamation, through guidance, through warning, whatever it is, every fiber of my being, that I might participate with God in changing lives. It really explains the great passion that God has put burning in my heart. This passion to see other people change. See, I want to use my life, I want to use my voice, I want to use every resource that I have to change the lives of other people. And I mean that in a spiritual sense, in an eternal sense. Everything that I have that God would be able to use to change the life of someone else. This is the reason that we plant churches, is to change lives. It's the reason we have church, is to change lives. It's the reason we have conferences, to change lives. To help you grow. You see, when you grow, you change. You cannot grow if you do not change. That's why, both outside the church and inside the church, the goal is changing lives. And when lives are changed, people are attracted to Christ because they see the change in our lives. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I'll focus on verse 2. Says, do not be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think, so that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, even God's goal in our life is to change us, and to change us, and to change us, and to change us. This is all that we're trying to do. Every meeting that I have, every prayer that I pray, besides the ones of bringing my needs to God, which I do frequently, I bring my needs to God to change my circumstances. I bring my burdens to God to change me. I bring others to God to change them. And that's the power and the beauty of prayer. Is in a private closet somewhere, could be thousands of miles away from the loved one that you pray for or the friend that you're seeking God for. You change and influence their lives. The reason I was honored to be invited by the high school LT leaders to come down and speak from the Lakeville congregation. There's this YMCA camp. So it was this outdoor service in this amphitheater. And I didn't say this that morning, but as I went home, it was a very moving experience for me for this reason. In the crowd, I'll name a few names so that you get the gist of this, was Bill Barnd. Bill Barnd has worked with our youth for many, many years, and Bill used to cut my hair. And I used to sit in his barber chair, and I remember when Bill first came to the door, he told me, if I remember right, that I'm the first one who met him at the door that morning. I don't remember he had hair then, long hair. And Bill came with his wife, Danelle, and then their two children, Kevin and Mandy, and none of them knew the Lord at the time. Within several weeks, it might have been several months, they came to know Jesus Christ, and God began a work in their lives, and then I think Bill probably led his children to Christ, They kept growing and they kept coming and their lives kept changing. Their priorities kept changing. I remember Bill, he had this piece of land and he had a little trailer on the land and he had plans for the land and he gave up those plans. Remember Bill used to tell me in the barber chair, I got motorcycles, Mark. We go up there, but God's rearranging. God's changing all of my priorities for life. Eventually Bill became one of our youth leaders, youth workers, and my children were involved in the youth group with Bill, and he spoke into their lives, and they were a team together. And so I was sitting there, and there was Bill and Danelle, and then there was Kevin and his wife, Ashley, and they're helping with the teen group. And so now there was that next generation. And then I looked out, and there was Doug and Nikki, and I remember meeting Nikki when she was 20 years old on the U of M campus. And she started coming to our Bible studies. I remember Doug moving up here from Kentucky, and we started getting together and praying and spending time together. And right there in front of me in my line of sight was two of their children, Josh and Emily. And now that they're even younger than Kevin and Mandy. And I looked over here and saw Dan and Sharon Hildebrand. And remember when they first started coming, there was their son back there. And then I saw the Dibbings. And then I saw their kids. And you see, we changed a parent's life. And then in turn changed a child's life. And I really believe in my heart, by God's grace, that when I'm 70, I'll have the chance to talk to Josh and Emily's children. And maybe even Kevin and Mandy's children be grown up sitting there at LT helping with kids. And that change, it just that's what it's about. That's what we're trying to do. We want to use our lives to change another person for eternity. You think about a teacher, just for a moment, just think about a teacher who takes a little child. This is one of the beautiful things about watching my wife educate our children. She had the privilege not only of birthing them, but of teaching those children to read. What a treasure. What a gift to learn to read. Child's life is changed when they learn to read. A whole new world is opened up to them. And all the little things that you get to teach children changes their life. Or I think about the individuals that have gone down Honduras and they've helped some of the Hondurans start tilapia farms. Tilapia is a type of fish. I think about my friend Carlos Garcia, who's down I think it's in El Salvador, but I also know in Honduras, where they started this tortilla factory. Someone donated money. They started a tortilla factory. And there's all these mothers that live in cardboard huts. And now they're able to make a living wage and they have a daycare. And starting that changed their lives. But the real goal was to change it for eternity. And so they get them together every day and they share the gospel with them. Because if all we do is start a tortilla factory, we just send fatter people to hell. And I'm not joking. I'm not joking. And you see, what God calls us, God uses us to bring real, eternal, permanent, godly, biblical change, spiritual change into people's lives when we're willing to open our mouth, when we're willing to open our hearts, when we're willing to love others. I want you to think about this. Truth does not go forth by itself. It doesn't have wings. It doesn't have legs. It doesn't have a megaphone. It needs someone to speak it to others. Reminds me of the passage in Romans chapter 10, if I'm not mistaken. It talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And then Paul goes on to write and he says, "For how can they hear if no one is sent? How can they believe if no one preaches the good news?" I'm not getting the order right, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. The angels don't come down and say it. The wind doesn't speak it. The animals don't talk. Believe in Jesus. Your cat doesn't turn around at you and say, "Repent." Listen, it only happened once that God used a dumb animal, and that was Balaam's ass. It's a biblical term, parents. That's what it says. It means donkey. I was quoting the King James Version there. The King James Version uses that technical language. That's the only time it's ever recorded that we know of that God used an animal. truth doesn't speak for itself. It needs your voice. It needs your life to speak it out, to live it out, to proclaim it. See, we're part of the Great Commission churches. And that name is taken from Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, go. Get out there, go. And make disciples." Make them. "Of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them. Teach them. Teach them by your life and with your mouth to do what I've commanded you. Teach them. Teach them my ways. Teach them about God." Any of us here that are parents knows that in one sense, it's easy to make babies. It's easy to have babies. It's raising the babies. It's where comes the sweat, the blood, and the toil. That 20 to 22 year process. That's when Paul's talking about when he says not only was he trying to proclaim Christ and warn him, but he labored to the point of exhaustion as he was seeking to see Christ formed in them, as he was trying to present them fully grown and mature. Some have said, use the term, we're trying to see fully devoted followers. That's fine. I'm trying to see fully developed followers. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of speaking of truth into people's lives in order for them to change. I remember recently I received just a sweet card from a dear brother, Dad. He wrote to me, he said, "Mark, I was recently at your dad's workshop, and he said, you know, you brought up this particular series that you gave us an assignment to go over. And he said, I must confess, I was at the conference where you originally gave the messages 9 years ago. I've never listened to it. I never really followed up. I never really did the assignment. I've since had children. But I'd just like to tell you, I went through it step by step. I did the little assignment. And man, am I glad I did. How can we get others to?" And I'm thinking to myself, 9 years! And you wonder why I'm gray. Someone came up to me and I said, "You're gray." A few months ago, I walked into one of the locations, and as I was walking, it was a bright, sunny morning, and a young girl walking with her mother, she had to be about 4, said, "Oh, look, Mommy, his hair sparkles." And I said, "Oh, sweetie, I did that just for you. I put a little glitter in my hair just for you." I love this brother. He's a very dear brother, and he really is, and he's a tremendous servant. Let me just say in love, you have no idea how hard it is on an old pastor's heart to know that sometimes it literally takes us 9 years to get through to you. And the only reason I get up every day is because I know God's word is the power to shatter a stony heart. And that it must be spoken. It must be courageously told. It must be shared with others. And all of us are to be involved. Mama's speaking it to their children. Daddy's speaking it to their children. Mama, daddy, to one another, to your neighbor, to your family, to your friends. I was so touched recently. I got a call from a new young gal at The Rock. She's really young in her faith, and she's just like somebody took a match to her, lit her on fire. She was at The Rock for a while. She left, kind of went her own way, and now she's back and come to Christ, and wow. She called me and she said, "Mark, I have a really difficult time with my family. They kind of think I've gone off the deep end." So I asked her for a little background, kind of how she interacts with them, and I said, "Can I give you just a couple tidbits of advice?" She comes from a very, 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 very strong Catholic family. I said, "From now on, when you're with your family, I would talk about Christ. Just stay on Christ. Because your mom, she likes Christ, right?" "Oh, yes, she loves Christ." "So just talk about Christ. If you're going to talk, don't talk about The Rock for now. Don't talk about all anything. Just talk about Christ. And then, with your life, serve her. Serve her. I got a feeling your mom used to cook for you, do your laundry, do this." I said, "When you go home, just say, 'Mom, is there anything I can help you with? Oh, it looks like the dishes need done. Can I help you?' And grab a broom and grab something and serve her. Love her. She called me back a few weeks later. She said, Mark, my gosh, this is remarkable. I said, what happened? She said, well, my grandmother's gone to the hospital recently, and she's very sick. And so I approached my mother very graciously and said, Mom, you know, could we pray for grandma? Mom said, okay. And then she said, well, would it be all right with you if I talked to grandma about Christ? Oh, my goodness, yes. That would be wonderful, the mother said. She went and shared the gospel with her grandmother in the hospital. This is someone who's only been following the Lord about 5 months. But she understands that our lives are about changing others. Changing others. I'd like to ask you this evening to reflect on a few questions. Would you do this for me? I just want you to reflect on this. I only mean this, I want to say this very tenderly, I only mean this as a way to stimulate your thinking for a moment. And I want you to think about the previous 20 years of your life, or depending on your age, the previous 5, or the previous 2, or the previous 15. And then we're going to look ahead for a moment. Whose life has changed because of you? If you were going to go home tonight and write in a notebook, now understand, I don't want someone walking out here and saying, wow, Mark is just so theologically out of it. I understand that it is God who does the work. I also understand, let me put it this way, that a farmer's crops won't get planted if he just prays. His job is to plant the crops. My job is to raise my kids. God ain't going to raise them for me. It is our responsibility to be involved, speaking truth, loving people, living the truth in their lives with the specific goal and aspiration to change them, to see God work through us in such a way that they change. So if you were to look back on your life, whose life has changed because of you? Then ask yourself this question. I'm sure for all of you, there's someone, if you could, wouldn't you like it to be a lot more? If you could, wouldn't you in your heart want it to be more? Would you like God to use you more? Whose lives, let me go to this question, whose lives are you involved with right now? I don't mean at this meeting, I mean in the present tense of life. Whose lives are you involved with right now with the purpose of helping to bring spiritual change to their lives? Whose lives? What greater purpose in life could there be than being involved changing the lives of others for Christ's sake? What greater purpose? And the last question is this. As we look out the next 20 years of our life, and Lord willing, the only thing that I hope more than more changed lives is that Jesus comes back tomorrow. I'll be really honest with you about that. It'd be really good with me if on my drive home tonight, he just, boom, we're gone. I won't give you all the reasons why, but it would be really wonderful. But let's say that he doesn't. And let's say we're here for the next 20 years and we're having our 40th anniversary, and it probably won't be able to be at Bethel. Would you, and I want you to think about this seriously. You may not be able to decide this tonight. Will you commit yourself to use the rest of your life to help change the lives of other people? Will you commit yourself to use the rest of your life, your voice, your walk with God, your resources, your talents, your time, your love, your relationships, to change, to bring spiritual change to the lives of others? Do you realize that your spiritual growth, listen, I just got done doing a series at The Rock called The Quest for Spiritual Maturity. It's called Growing Up, The Quest for Spiritual Maturity. And many of you from Evergreen through the years have heard me say this before, but I'll just say it again. Lives will not be changed by a spoiled, undisciplined, diaper-wearing 2-year-old. I want to show you something in the book of Hebrews. A little known verse that I don't think we reflect on too much. But let's just reflect on it in a minute, and hopefully Mark will be able to find it. Here it is. Hebrews chapter 5. There's so much more I would like to say to you, but times you don't seem to listen, so it's hard to make you understand. You have been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things a beginner must learn about the Scripture. You're like babies who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food. A person who is living on milk isn't very far along in the Christian life. Here's how we know, and they don't know much about doing what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature. Now he's going to describe a mature person who have trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong, and then they do what is right. See, brother and sister, Christ becomes more and more attractive to the world when you and I become more and more attractive. When our character has the rough edges knocked off of it. When our selfishness is replaced with selflessness. When our self-will is replaced with the desire to please others. When our desire to be served is replaced with a desire to cheerfully serve others. Then God is able to do something significant through our lives. This is why your spiritual growth is so profoundly and significantly important. This is why it's so important that you and I are in a state of growth and change. Now, don't get me wrong. None of us are like Christ. I'm not like Christ yet. I got a long ways to go. But it is possible, just like adulthood, to become a mature Christian. It's possible. Not only is it possible, but it's what God is trying to do in your life. One of the privileges that I've had, I don't know that I anticipated this at The Rock, has been when we started The Rock, it was all these basically singles, babies. To me, I could be all their dad. And they all come, they're all single. Then they all start falling in love. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And they start learning about righteousness in a relationship and morality. And then they got married. And that takes maturity to step up to the plate and walk through that door. And then they start having babies. And now they've taken on the responsibility for the lives of others. That's called maturing. And God wants you and I, yes, to become like Christ, but he also wants to get to that place in our lives where we have changed to the point that we are mature Christians teaching others. By teaching, I don't mean we're all up on the stage, but in life and out in the highways and the byways and in our homes and in our relationships, we're guiding and we're imparting wisdom and we're striving to present others complete in Christ, and we're teaching them God's truth. Some have written to me over the years, Mark, you know, thank you for sharing. Or, you know, someone came up to me the other day and thanked me for the high school tea time, and it just kind of made me emotional. I said, oh my gosh, I thrive on it. I don't know how I'd live if I could not share. If the Lord took my tongue, I would have to learn to write. If the Lord took my hands, I would have to learn to tap out something with my feet. And I kid you not, because I understand that it is the impartation of truth that changes a life. I'd like you to bow your heads tonight, and you've listened to me enough. I thank God for all of you being here tonight. And I'm going to have the band come back up, and we're going to end with several songs. We have a little time. Believe it or not, it's official. Mark Darling has ended real early. It's 7:41. And the meeting's scheduled till 8. So we're going to do, Jeremy, Bless the Lord, How Great Is Our God, and Rescue. And you all can stand up as I'm praying, and then we're just going to sing our hearts to God. I can't think of anything I would rather do to end our time tonight than just sing the Lord and worship the Lord. Why don't you stand with me as I pray? Heavenly Father, we just tell you tonight that we're so incredibly grateful for everything that you've done for each and every one of us. Lord, this congregation of people is a living testimony to the mighty power of the Spirit of God working in a person's life. It's also a testimony, Lord, to the commitment of somebody or somebodies who prayed for them, who loved them. I think about Tom and Mel's story tonight and how Tim and Kathy Grunitz prayed for them and time again invited them to the conference, invited them to church, and finally, I remember meeting that first time at the couples conference up in Duluth, and their lives were radically changed. Heavenly Father, we just praise you tonight. I praise you tonight for these men and women, for their commitment, their sacrifice, their service, their devotion to Jesus Christ. Lord, it'd be my privilege to spend the rest of my life serving you with them. I just ask you, God, to make us people changers. Give us the confidence, oh God, that you can use us. You can use the weak, the insignificant, the ordinary, the despised nobodies to change the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen.